Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. If you could please give it up for your guests, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm one of your guests, Alex.
I am Justin, a great guest of the show.
And I am Pete, one of the hosts.
And this is our favorite guest, Boothman Prime!
Boothman Prime!
Yeah, no, we're all guests.
Listen, I'm sorry for razzing you so hard, Boothman Prime, but we're the hosts of the show, not the guests.
Sorry, guys. You do your thing.
He considers himself the host of the show because he, like, runs
it. Yeah, actually, to be fair, yes. You are the host.
Yeah. Yep. And we're the guest, and we invite another guest out as, like, a second. Like, a we're back
right,
party
and then our guest invites a guest, and it never stops.
Exactly. Our plus one.
Yeah. Speaking of plus ones, I have an extra story for you guys today.
Oh!
That makes
so
sense.
Have you seen Marvel and Netflix's hit show Luke Cage?
Hell's yes!
Of course. That is airing right now.
Yeah. It's airing almost constantly.
Nearly constantly.
There you go, on the airwaves. So
you should check it out, Pete. Hey, you would really like it, Pete.
Dude, I've seen it.
Oh, you have?
I've seen the shit out of it.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Wait, we didn't talk about this last week. Before we get to the story, we should establish... this was a little more impressive last week when the show had just come out over that weekend.
Well, let's set it up. It premiered on Friday.
Right, it premiered on Friday. Our show is on Tuesday nights. That's when we do it live in New York.
Right.
And so that's how many days?
It was Friday at 3 a.m.
Right, at 3 a.m. So it's not a full day.
That's a sort of partial day. And then until Tuesday is like four-ish days.
Four-ish
right.
days.
So when you think about days, there's a lot of stuff you have to do. You have to eat.
Right, you have to
drink,
shower,
exercise,
go to the
certainly.
Bathroom.
You go to the bathroom, dress yourself.
Sleep is a thing that you do for almost 50% of the day.
Yeah, 50%. Yeah. What's your life like?
I'm real tired.
I was really on board, and I was like, I sleep like 10% of the day, so we have different paths.
So, Pete, how long did it take you to watch Luke Cage?
I've seen it twice through at that point.
That's it. Now, that's the level of shock from that audience.
Exactly. Yeah, in case you couldn't hear it if you're listening at home, the reaction from the audience real quick, could you do it again?
Yeah, there was an unprompted exclamation like a child was walking in traffic. That's how much we're worried about you, Pete.
Here's the thing. That doesn't tell the whole story. You saw it 26 hours of television in less than 4 days.
Right.
But how many times did you watch the third episode?
I've seen that 6 times now.
6 times?
What is wrong with you?
What are you hoping to learn from
it? It's my, like, when I get home and I've only got, like, 40 minutes before bed, I'll just be like, you know what? I'll put on episode 3. It's my favorite.
Wow.
Well, this is actually a really good time because my story is about episode 3 of Luke Cage. So you could probably repeat this word for word.
Right.
But the scene towards the end with Scarf, who is Frank Whaley's character, and Chico, they're at the car, they're talking. And you remember this. You remember he's like eating something. What does he say, Pete? Do you remember?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Interesting.
You're clearly paying a lot of attention. Yeah. You watched it 6 times and you don't remember this. Scarf is eating a burger and Scarf says, man, I've always been a Jumbo's man, but I was more of a Willy Burger man back in the day.
Oh, yes.
So he says that. So I was, for work, I was recapping all the episodes. And as I was recapping all the episodes, I was recapping them in real time or real-ish time, trying to put a recap out every hour. At the end of them, I was putting Easter eggs and references and other things. So like the Marvel Comics Easter eggs, but also when I could catch it, stuff like little history things and other things that I could throw in there.
Yeah.
So a new Jumbo's that's a classic Harlem place. Yeah. It's at 145th and 8th Avenue, I think.
There was also one on Lennox Avenue between 123rd and
whatever
122nd.
Whatever it is. Like, it's the classic Harlem Burger base.
Right.
But I didn't know what Willy Burger is, so I did a search for it. The only Willy Burger that I found on the internet was a place, it's chain in Texas, that's supposed to be like the best burgers in Texas. Mm-hmm. So again, as I was going quickly, I threw it in the Easter eggs and I was like, all right, I believe, in parentheses, this means that maybe Scarf lived in Texas and moved to Harlem. Mm. That kind of explains something about his character.
Right.
That was, at this point, like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, something like that, right? So last night, I'm at home, I'm finishing up dinner with my kids, and I get a phone call from an unknown number.
Was it, hold were you on, eating can burgers?
Could you let me finish
that
the story?
That would be a fun, like, specific. Cool. Yeah. That would be an Easter egg to this story. Yeah.
So,
you know what, I'm going to recap the Easter eggs to this story, because this is like an extra episode of Luke.
Yeah, Cage. So I got a call from an unknown phone number, I had no idea, but
and
I picked it up.
And you picked it up?
Did you pick it up?
Yeah, I picked it up.
Are you crazy?
Oh my God,
I don't know, I picked it up.
That could be a murderer.
And I say,
out the other end.
I said, hello, this is my social security number, as I always do when I answer.
That's not smart.
I've been meaning to tell you.
I'm sure it's fine.
Say it unprompted.
In this case, it was fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, the lady on the other end, who perfectly pleasant voice, said, excuse me, is this the Alex who works at TV Guide? And I said, yes, it is. And
that's not a great sign.
Why would you agree with that?
Certainly.
And I started to get really nervous because I had just done a bunch of stuff at New York Comic Con, and I was like, oh, crap, what did I spoil? What did I put up that I shouldn't have put up? What am I about to get yelled at? And the lady said, are you the same Alex who wrote the articles about Luke Cage? And I was even more confused because, again, this was like a week and a half ago.
Sure, sure.
I had completely forgotten about, not I knew what I did, but I was like, what could I possibly have done?
You knew what you did.
I knew what I did. That it was a week and a half ago. And she was like, listen, so in one of your articles, you wrote about Jumbo, the line that one of the characters says about Jumbo Burger and Willy Burger, and you said it's Willy Burger in Texas. Actually, Willy Burger was the place before Jumbo Burger in that location in Harlem and was the classic burger eatery. And I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. She's clearly some sort of crazy
Marvel fan. Historian.
Right,
how did you get
historian.
My number?
Here's the kicker. Willy's granddaughter.
Oh!
And Willie's granddaughter, so somebody had told her that Willy Burger was mentioned in Luke Cage.
You're like Trump versus Hillary-ing me right now. You're very close. You're like too close to me.
Yeah, we're both doing that. So she had heard that Willy Burger was mentioned. She was very excited. Hadn't watched the show yet. Searched for it, only found my article, tracked down my info, only because I was said, in parentheses, I believe, because I wasn't sure, and she was very apologetic, but I was like, no, this is awesome, thank you so much for calling me, and told her to go watch Luke Cage, and I assume then she spent the next 26 hours doing nothing but that.
Yeah, watching it twice.
But I just, the reason that blew me away, beyond the fact that like she was so pleasant and amazing and had tracked out and was so excited about somebody mentioning her grandfather's burger place, is that the show, a throwaway line about burgers, like just one throwaway line about burgers, still has so much deep Harlem history in it.
Well, it's a real line. Yeah,
that's
great.
So that's all. That's my whole story.
What's great is you're watching it and picking up all this history and stuff like that, and I'm just listening for like Wu-Tang lyrics and Gangstar lyrics, and my mind's being blown by all these Easter eggs, and you're watching it get completely different stuff, which is cool. And you haven't even fucking finished watching it yet, you piece of shit.
Okay.
Let's get the show going.
Wow.
All right, there we go. On that note.
Wow, this is...
Very excited about our guest tonight, who has nothing to do with Luke Cage, so with all that preamble. But he is the creator and writer of the hit off-Broadway show Puffs, which we'll be talking about in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Cox!
Yeah! Welcome to the show.
Come on out.
Grab a seat, grab a microphone.
Hello,
sir.
Hang
Matt,
out.
Come, please, sit down. I'm very excited to
have you
here.
Hello, hi. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you so much for going on. So, I gotta ask you, Puffs.
Yes.
It's a show about a wizarding school with wizards that is not...
Yeah, it's not, and I did air quotes. So Puffs is essentially, it's called Puffs, or Seven Increasingly Eventful Years at a Certain School of Magic and Magic. That is the full title. And it chronicles those 7 years that are very famous from a particularly famous book series about a certain famous boy wizard who goes through all kinds of crazy adventures and learns the meaning of true friendship.
Now, let me ask you, if you were to use, like, proper nouns at any point in this conversation, what would the repercussions be?
Well, you know,
are there...
I don't know, and but so you... I don't want to find out.
Smart. Oh, it's right. Smart.
So would you say this is the wizard who shall not be named?
We could say that. We could definitely not... shall not name him.
But, you know, you're not supposed to... You're supposed to say the name as one of the lessons of that book series.
Yeah.
You're right.
We're talking, in case you're wondering, about the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
Okay, you can say that all you want.
The Chronicles.
That's about Mr. Tumnus. It's all about Mr. Tumnus's family.
I would like to say I have seen the play. It is hysterical, amazing. There's some real heartfelt moments. I very much enjoyed myself.
So the play, though, started not physically this location of the pit, but it started at the pit, moved to off-Broadway. What's the transition been like?
Oh, it's been interesting. It's been fun. So we performed at the Pit from December until August of this year, which was crazy because we were only supposed to do 5 shows at the Pit originally.
That's awesome.
And then people liked it, so that's good. And then slowly we got some interest to move it to a more off-Broadway theater, a little larger, from a producing company called Tilted Windmills. And so they set that up. And so we're performing at the Electra Theater, which is on 43rd and 8th Avenue. And it's very different. Like, the theater itself is very different from the Pit. And so we had to restage the entire show. And there was also something about, we had, you know, it was very, like, comedic. It's a very, like, comedic-based show. And so we're still keeping it feeling very, like, bitty and fun. But also, like, since, you know, we're in Midtown now, we try to develop it and make it feel a little bit more like a play as well. Nice. But it's still also really stupid and funny.
That's so cool to take something and really, like, that's how you know the mark of success is when it was grabbed and just elevated in such a way.
The basic conceit of it, too, just to explain, like, the full thing. So it's those, it's the 7 years from the books, but it's from the perspective of, as we call them, the Puffs, in their a particular house from that book, who you know, pop culture has deemed the not the coolest kids at wizard school.
Wait, pop culture deemed that, or everyone?
Well,
deemed
you
that?
Know, I guess everybody, but not as much anymore. And I like to think that, you know, we're doing our part to make them cool in the public eye.
Have you guys tried to reach out to the author of said book series at all?
No.
Okay.
Probably for the best.
Maybe one day. Because there is something. So, like, we go through all the 7 years, and it's, like, crazy. And we do a lot of, like, parodying of the moments from the books. But there is also an element, like, the heartfelt moments. We try to, I at least, like, try to really capture, like, the tone and the morals and all the things that, you know, those that particular trio learns. We have our own trio in our play that, you know, they experience some similar things. They learn some similar lessons, and they learn some.
You know, who you should talk to is J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor.
He's great. I'd love to get him in there.
Oh, man. Now, the play is in Midtown, and we found out a secret about you that involves Midtown right before the show. I don't know if it's a secret necessarily, but it was secret to us. You used to work at Midtown Comics.
I did for 4 years. Yeah. Somewhat off and on, but mostly.
Tell us all the dirty secrets.
Let's just say real quick. Midtown Comics is sponsoring
the show.
Yes.
See, we can.
Very, obviously.
The dirty secret of all, they are great.
Yeah.
No. We love Midtown Comics. But what was it like working there, though?
Oh, yeah. Crazy. On the other side of it now for more than a year, great. Like, a fun time. I got a nice little discount while working there. And I spent way too much money while working there. And it's that part, because I worked at the Times Square location. So anyone, you might recognize this sultry voice from behind the register if you went there. But it sounded much more joyless.
Well, let me ask you. You mentioned before the show that you've definitely rung each of us up.
I did. I remember all of you.
So I know where this is going.
Can you tell us any what specifics, what impressions might you have from our different experiences at Midtown Comics?
Who was the best at buying
Who's
comics?
The coolest? Who's got the best stack?
I'll volunteer as I'm the worst when I go into that place.
Really? No. I will pay you a compliment, because when you go to a store regularly, you are the one person of the three of us, definitely, who makes it important to get to know everybody who works in the place, learn their names, say hello to them, check in with them, know everything about them. Right. You are a man about town.
To be fair, at certain times, you were spending like $250 a week there. There was a reason
and
for that.
That's just on bags of books.
Yeah, exactly.
But the line for me at Midtown was very important. When people didn't respect the line in front of the new...
Are you saying you got aggravated about something sort of small and esoteric in relation to the rest of it?
It's not that's esoteric. There's literally a line in the ground.
That was a big thing. Like a lot of people missed that line.
So for those people who are listening at home who don't know about the line, can you explain what the line is?
Well, people know what lines are.
Lines are things that people line up in in order to purchase
this
goods.
Is something I haven't seen in a lot of comic book shops.
There's like, you walk in, there's the front registers that are to your left, and then the line itself, like, stretches diagonally from it and then goes back behind, like, the last row of books. So a lot of people, if you're walking, I'm doing a lot of arm motions right now, which is very helpful.
Yeah, great for people at home.
And so, like, the more front part of the store, though, which is where you would naturally, like, walk straight forward in, goes, like, it would appear to go right to the register. So from somebody walking back, it would look like, oh, there's no line. This person's just standing there. But usually there would be a very long line, and people would get very angry. Mm-hmm. My favorite one is Louis C.K. once skipped the line there.
What?
By accident. Right. And I didn't realize it was him till after. And so it was like a moment of, like, it was also during the holiday season, which is, you know, very stressful there. And I remember him, like, walking up and being like, the line, sir, there's a line.
And he sheepishly went back to the back of the line.
Yeah, because we're all equals at the comic book store.
That's
right.
I will say, to be fair, Louis C.K. skipping a line is probably the least bad accusation against him.
Getting on the soapbox, political target.
Also, I would like to point out that, like, Midtown... you know, you're like thinking to yourself, oh, it's a comic book shop. How stressful can it be? It's in the middle of Times Square in New York City, so it is packed.
Yeah, it's packed. It's packed all the time. Like, especially if anything, like, important happened in books, like if someone died or something like that, or if there was something coming out that, you know, like the internet was on the cover. Like, a line down the street. So if whenever I walked in there at, like, 7:50 in the morning on a Wednesday, it would be like... Oh, no. There is so many people
what
is, here.
What event, what thing that happened in comics did people get the
maddest
about?
The worst one I ever experienced was when the DC did the 3D covers and whenever that wonderful gimmick. There was the Joker's daughter issue that was coming out. And it was like they didn't order very many of them because it was like a... Great, no one's probably going to care about this, and then everybody
cares about
it. No one
cares about the Joker's daughter, a character that doesn't even have a proper name of her own. people didn't lose their...
My daughter is named the Alex's daughter. So
yeah, that's true.
We didn't think
I have her 3D cover, and it's cool.
Thank you very much. We worked very hard on that.
But yeah, the day that came out, I remember walking up and then looking at the shelves and being like, oh, we have... four, like, five copies of that book.
Man.
And so people came in, and there wasn't, like, no one was prepared for it. And so it was like, mass chaos. And there was, at one point, like, three different lines forming, and people were yelling at each other. And I remember just at one point just kind of being like, hey, everybody, let's just be really nice right now.
But was there, beyond stuff happening in the store, things going crazy there, was there a storyline in particular that people got really upset about?
I remember whenever Damian Wayne, the death of Damian Wayne, that was a big thing.
Oh, interesting.
That was also a big, like, because whenever any sort of major comic book event too happens, the news locations will just immediately send someone to Midtown Comics. It seems like if something happens in the day, you would know that somebody was going to send, just because I guess they're like, oh, something happened. Let's go ask the nerds.
And in a news organization, who is asked to cover the comic book news? Is it the worst reporter?
Usually not people who have any idea what's going on.
And Matt Lauer's not dropping down to just be like, let's cover this. Damian Wayne is sick.
The clone conspiracy.
Well, I'm sorry that you wrote this amazing play that is doing so well, and we spent this whole time talking about you working on Midtown Comics.
It's an important theater part artist. Of my life.
But you never said, what about us as shoppers? Can you pick out?
I just remember, you know, just a certain gentleness and kindness.
That's great to hear. I knew that about you.
Actually, the one thing I do is, like, most of you, like, I was not one for, like, chat at the thing, usually. And so it was just great to just, you know, be like, hey, okay, this is how much this cost. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for giving
me money.
Yeah,
I also I'm not a chatty.
Yeah, me neither. I'm no Pete.
I'm not a Pete LePage type who walks in like the mayor of the goddamn comic book store.
Respect the line.
Yeah, respect the line. He's yelling at people in line. He's wearing a tuxedo, obviously, every Wednesday.
Which always looked very nice, though. The tuxedo was great.
Yeah, it's very classy.
You're a gorgeous man, Pete.
Yeah, he's a beautiful
Puffs
man.
Puffs is in its final weekend of rehearsals.
The previews. So we're in our final week of previews. We open officially on October 20th. Which is very exciting. But it's been going really well. Audiences are super into it, especially there's a particular meetup, like fandom group called the group that shall not be named, that they've been really instrumental at the pit as well.
That's cool.
Like, we've done special nights in our second show we did for them, and they've just been there. They seem to like it a lot, and so if they like it, I think most people will like it.
Now, are you a Puff?
Whenever I took the quiz on the internet, yes. I am one of those, so that's good.
Yeah,
marketing.
They do have that fun quiz on what is it, Puff's, what's the actual website?
Facebook?
Pottermore?
Yeah,
Pottermore.
Okay. I don't know if you're allowed to say that.
If
you could really quickly sort us.
Yeah, he is wearing a hat.
Yeah, would you mind using your hat's power to sort the three?
Sure. Do you want me to physically do it or just like
I think
audibly do it?
Audibly do it.
All right, I'm putting the hat on your head.
Great.
Let's see. I would say probably...
Interesting. Ooh, this is real.
Pete's probably, and as we call them, the snakes. The green ones.
Yeah.
That's not a thing to celebrate.
No, I'm super into it.
It's legitimately the bad guy.
I've seen the play.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You're probably Ravenclaw.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's ooh, nice. I mean, smarts.
smarts. Right.
A claw of ravens, and then that, and then
interesting.
And you know, yeah, you know what? Just to get them all, so that they're all represented, I'd say you're very brave.
Fuck yeah! That's the best one, I think. I think that's the best one.
Uh-huh. All right, so where can you find out information about
Puffs? Yeah, great. So you can find out more information at puffstheplay.com.
That's what I was talking about. At the website, you do have the quiz.
And we have our own quiz as well, which you most likely end up being sorted into Puffs. Spoiler alert for the end of the quiz.
It's
a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah, and the show, it's just, I don't know, it's a good time. There's a lot of silly wizard jokes. There's also a lot of other like pop culture things within the show, just because I like all those things. Yeah. Like my favorite little series of jokes that's in it that nobody ever seems to get. There's a series of Rocky IV references throughout. In that one of the characters only speaks in Ivan Drago quotes. Only one person has ever come up to me after and been like, "That was funny." Yeah.
I guess there's not a lot of Venn diagram crossover.
Surprisingly, apparently me.
There you go.
Oh,
you
it's guys. Weird. The Puffs quiz sorted me into an audience member of Puffs.
That would have been smart. That's smart.
Definitely check it out, you guys. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah,
we do. Woo.
After The Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with a big issue. Big issue that came out. Death of X, number one. From Marvel. That's it. After this, no more X's in the comic books.
They're out of there. There's only 25 letters in the alphabet.
They're going to leave the it. Yeah. They're going to play a lilophone. Those are the only X words you can talk about.
Now, if you guys don't remember, the X-Men used to be a popular group in Marvel Comics.
Yeah, they had a couple of movies they made.
Yeah, but their movies were bad. They're owned by a different studio, so they've been de-emphasized. So now they're killing them.
There you go. So the plot of it is that the Terrigen Mist that the Inhumans released, or didn't really exactly release, I think it was... the side effect of beating Thanos.
Yeah, it was a panic moment.
Yeah, it was a panic moment.
The response Black Bolt did was to release the Terrigen Mist as a cloud that is orbiting the Earth and occasionally arrives and turns your friends into Inhumans.
And the downside is it turns out that it's fatal to some mutants. And about, I would say, a greater ratio than creates in humans. So the Inhumans and the X-Men, being very similar concepts, are on a collision course.
Now, I mean, I was saying it as a sort of a joke before, but there's what a perfect metaphor to what the conspiracy theory about Marvel getting rid of the X-Men, where there's a cloud that is like, oh, this property we don't own is dying, and the property we want to make a movie for is popular. It's very like... I understand the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But from a storytelling perspective, I think this is cool. Putting the Inhumans, which actually have had a great sort of renaissance and are doing... Charles Soule is sort of running the Inhumans world at Marvel right now, is actually great, great storytelling. The X-Men world, obviously, been around forever, has sort of felt like it's been in its own pocket lately. A lot of our favorite X-Men aren't as prominent as they used to be. And I think this storyline is sort of putting them back into it.
I'll say my favorite thing about this book is the art's by Aaron Cooter, who did a fantastic run on Action Comics with Greg Pak. And the art here is gorgeous. It feels big. It feels impressive. He draws each of the characters in a very different way, which I think is a surprisingly rare thing for superhero comics. They all feel a little different, so it's worth it for that. On the other hand, I know that Pete hated it. So what's going on, Pete?
Yep. I did hate it. I just think this is just an example of why is Scott Summers still in charge? Like, this guy sucks.
But that's the thing is, I knew you would hate
this. Could you let me fucking at least get a sentence out before you interrupt me? So, like, here's the guy who's in charge of the X-Men, right? They go down into this mist. They see a dead body of a mutant. They keep walking. Well, we're just going to keep hanging out. Then people start coughing. Still hanging out in the mist.
So you don't like it. You got a whole sentence out.
So then... there's a guy who's like, Max is like, it's the mist, kills over. Still, nobody's like, hey, Scott, maybe we should get some masks or something. Just leads him right into this death trap. And then they have this, like, veiny cock in the middle of the background that is just sitting there. And people are like,
That's not.
It's weird. Why draw that? Make it look like an egg.
Why the fuck would that be okay?
What a weird complaint about
this. Here's what I don't understand. You hate Cyclops, right?
Yeah, that's
this is
what
a comic book that is specifically constructed to kill Cyclops.
Great.
Why don't you love it?
Well, that's not happened yet. It just shows him being a shitty person.
It's funny. It's funny to me that you're bothered. Like, Scott, all of the characters in comics are often making dumb choices.
Right.
The Punisher every day is like, well,
whoa,
I guess
whoa,
I'll go.
Watch your mouth. You watch your mouth.
Every day the Punisher's like, well, this gun ought to do the trick. And he walks into a crowd of villains.
Yeah. And he
that's
helps.
A bad plan.
That is not a bad plan. It's been just working for him for years.
It's just as bad as walking into a mist.
Nope.
It is. A mist happens all the time. You could wake up tomorrow to be a mist. You're going to run into your house?
Yeah, because I would. If there's an evil mist, I'm going to go
the
other
way. How do you tell between a regular mist and an evil mist?
If people are dead on the ground, that's evil mist.
What if someone's just taking a short nap in the mist? It's a nice morning mist.
I'm going to run the other way.
Well, I know how to scare you.
Yeah, you do.
How to scare you. Buy a smoke machine.
Are you a fan of Cyclops?
Back in the day, yes. I do remember, when at least working at a store, I read a lot of whenever they did the more reboot with the split of the teams, and I
yeah the schism
I was it was the yes the schism and yeah I remember getting at least having the you know the very comic store conversations of like, oh yeah, that's a little, he's acting a little weird.
He's acting,
I did,
a little
like, because I skimmed it in the lobby, there is kind of very like unceremonious death in it.
Yeah,
right? Is that a thing that you're allowed to talk about on here?
Yeah, great. We can talk about it. Yeah. Jamie Madrox, Multiple Man, dies.
I was just skimming. I was like, true. Oh, they just he's just dead and they don't even talk about
right.
it.
Right. They're like, well, whatever, let's move on.
Well, but I think they're sort of recognizing, like, oh, there'll probably be another one somewhere. There's always one Jamie Madrox in, like,
even
well,
though he said it's me, the original.
Yeah, but that's something
a
twin would
be a
say.
Twist that way. Then.
Yeah. Right. The thing with this that I that bothers me about the X-Men franchise in general right now is it's so joyless. Mm. Everyone seems depressed. It's almost like they know how bad their movies are, the characters. And I think that is not the fun storytelling that I want
to... Here's the weird thing that jumped out to me about the team of X-Men. Like, we've talked about this a little bit on the show, how the Inhumans, you know, beyond the conspiracy theories, really are the heir to the X-Men, that the Inhumans comic books are being written by vintage X-Men comics.
Yes.
But mutants are still supposed to be, like, the outcasts, the outsiders,
sure.
people that nobody like. Of the six, well, I guess one of them is three, but of the six people on the mutants team, three of them are skinny, hot, blonde girls. So, right, I mean, if you're going to talk about, like, outsiders, they're definitely not the outsider team at this point. It's weird.
Interesting.
That's all.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I don't know, the metaphor has gotten messed up with the X-Men, so... This is actually the first of two miniseries. There's Death of X. It's leading into Inhumans versus X-Men.
Yeah.
Whatever happens on the other side, God, I never want reboots. I want there to be a reboot of the X-Men. I want them
I
to just
right.
get back to basics for it.
Yeah, yeah, I think there needs to be, like, I think Cyclops needs to just go back
Die.
To business. No, I think he's doing fine. Nope. The mist is only making him slightly ill.
He keeled over.
Well, that happens sometimes when you're motion sick.
Maybe he'll lose his memory and just go back to 60s mindset.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to change his mask because it looks weird.
Yeah, that's silly. All right, let's move on to something that's less silly. Midnighter and Apollo, number one from DC Comics. Now, Pete, you were a big fan of this.
Yes, I love this comic. Makes you believe in love.
Yeah, I love, I think that this is a great couple, Midnighter and Apollo. You know, you got a dark, gritty guy who likes to hurt people, and then you've got a sunny god type character who cares about Midnighter.
Who do you identify with in that duo?
Midnighter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
they have a fantastic scene where Midnighter jumps through the train and it gives you like a panel by panel of him like just kind of working his way through all the bad guys. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah. It is great. Steve Orlando has been doing a great job with Midnighter and making it a really fun, ridiculous, over-the-top book, just like it should be. I also like the fact that it's a DC comic set book, but it doesn't feel necessary to have Superman show up at the end or Batman show up at the end. that it really does feel like a Wildstorm book, but set in the DC universe.
Yeah, I agree. It's really good, I think. And it's these characters are stronger because they're sort of like... It's Superman and Batman in a different version of them, and it's when Superman also shows up, it's like, all right, that's a little weird.
Yeah,
they're too similar.
The other thing that I think is nice about this, and I think he's talked about this in a bunch of interviews, it's nice to have a normalized LGBT couple.
Yeah,
that it's not like we are gay and we're talking about that in every panel, but they, like you said, they love each other and they are in a relationship, and it feels like a real relationship, and they have their problems, but it's just part of their character.
Well, and even beyond that, it's not even about their relationship.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that they have to work together and also be in a relationship.
Yeah.
So it's not even about the fact that they're gay. It's just about, like, imagine having to fight crime with the person you're in a relationship with. That would suck. And that's what this seems like it's about.
And also what's great is, like... this issue ends with kind of like a crazy reveal, but what's nice about it is because you know the relationship so well, you're like, oh man, what's Midnighter going to do now? You know, it's like, it gets you very excited, which I think they do a great job in this comic.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's, you're going to say?
I've heard great things.
All right, let's move on to another book, Moonshine, number one from Image Comics.
Great, guys. Great stuff.
Justin, everyone's, you want to talk about this book?
So this is a Azzarello and Riso comic.
Yeah.
Great history with these guys. They've worked together forever. This is sort of a... we don't quite know what it is, but it's I think it's a werewolf moonshine.
Werewolf?
I do think it is based on what the first couple of pages reveal. I think it's a werewolf moonshine like backwoods versus government situation. The art is beautiful, and the story feels like it's hyper specific. It reminds me of. Jason Aaron's book, the football book,
Southern Bastards.
It has that vibe to it, and I really like it.
Yeah,
first issue.
I agree. This is a very solid first issue. It's got that Brian Azzarello creep factor, where you don't know who's on.
You
the
mean
right.
He's a creep, though, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, he's a creep.
I don't know about that. But I think that he writes creepy stuff really well. Also. Yeah, we don't know who we're rooting for yet. You know, we don't know whose side we're on. I was hoping to be kind of like a monsters, like crocodile type thing, but we'll see.
You wanted it to be a crocodile thing in a book called Moonshine?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about werewolves is the moon is the thing.
Right. Moon is not a thing with crocodiles.
Oh, you're telling me right now crocodiles don't like the moon? You saying that? I've seen them.
Let me be honest.
That's a really good point.
I don't think crocodiles care too much about the moon.
I've seen them out on nights where there's a full moon. They're just kind of staring up at the
sky. Let me ask you, Pete, when and where? What were you up to that you're down there just taking the temperature of the crocodile pond come full moon?
Yeah.
Clearly, Florida. You've never seen a little movie called Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. You're right. I haven't.
Great. One thing I wanted to say about this is Eduardo Risso does the art and colors for this. It's gorgeous.
So
this book is absolutely gorgeous. Wonderful. All right. Let's move on to our last pick
what
of the week.
What are you talking about?
Justice League Hunger Scare, number one.
Oh, interesting.
Don't clap for that.
So this is a Snickers created content book about the Trinity, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman going to a comic convention.
Now, let me ask you, is this in DC continuity or Snickers continuity?
It's a little bit of both. It's
Snickers continuity is a little convoluted.
Yeah, it takes place on Earth Snickers.
Which is a great part of the DC.
Yeah. Now, Pete, you were super mad about talking about this, right?
Yes, why are we wasting our time
on this?
Let me
ask you a question. So did you read it?
No.
Okay, I'll just really quickly bring you up on the plot of the book. So the plot of the book is there's a comic convention, right? And Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman are near there, and they're trying to trace something evil that's happening, and suddenly a weird gas, one might call it a mist, is revealed.
Oh, no!
All over the comic convention, and turning people to these really hungry zombies who start eating comic book pages.
What?
Do you know what Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman do?
They feed them all Snickers?
Well, eventually.
Obviously, that happens eventually.
Of course.
That's their secret
weapon. I mean, how are you
going
to beat zombies but
Superman
with Snickers?
Superman shoots Snickers bars.
They put on masks. They put on masks to go through the mist.
Yeah, because they're smart people.
Because
they're fucking smart people.
That is in a Snickers printed book.
Yeah, there you go. So, do you like this book now, Pete?
Nope.
Wait. You don't like... So you. You don't like this book when The Mist is...
Don't bring up The Mist. This is just a shitty Snickers fucking commercial.
No, here's the thing that's crazy about this book. It's custom content, but it's written by Louise Simonson, and the penciler is Adrian Scaff. Yeah. So it's actually silly and
this
fun.
This is a comic book. It looks like a comic book.
Reads like
it's
one,
not
too.
A comic book.
And like all great comic books, it ends with a crowd screaming, Snickers satisfies. Which I think a lot of... I think The Death of Superman ended with that.
I remember Lois is yelling that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah,
I really like the back of the Apollo book also had an ad that tied into it, which was Doomsday and fighting Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and then defeating Doomsday by giving him a Snickers bar.
Do you think Snickers is how they're going to bring Watchmen into the continuity?
I think so.
I mean, it's a strong choice. We're all living in the Snickers world, technically, I think.
I find that very satisfying. And that's it for the stack! All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for your audience questions, all you got to do is ask a question for this great guy over here. Or anything for us, you'll get some free comics courtesy of Pete LePage and his personal collection of Mist and Mask related comic books. But raise your hands, ask a question, and I will come out. You, sir, right there, can you lean forward because there's a short mic? What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, my name is Jason. How
you guys, Jason.
Hey.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, sure. All right, so I wanted to know. Is there any other, and this can go out to everyone, but, great. You know, especially...
All of America.
Yeah. So Puffs has been sort of compared to Wicked in that it tells a popular story from another angle.
Ah,
is there any other popular story that you'd like to be seen told from a different angle?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Interesting. Great question.
That's really fun. Yeah, there's this one thing that we even talked about kind of as a group, just because it's a thing. It's really fun to play in certain worlds that are, you know, developed in a way. And it's easy. It's fun to make, like, a comedy set within those kinds of things. We had talked about briefly, but then I've come to realize that there's a book already about it, the Red Shirts book, so, like, the perspective of the Star Trek crew members. I've been really interested, at least in my mind. I've been slowly trying to work it out, but doing, like, a random Stormtrooper type thing with, like, a Star Wars thing. Just, like, people, like, set, like, way out in the middle of nowhere and, like, what that's like having to be a, like... faceless, nameless Stormtrooper who's just like in a really boring job. I think that would be a lot of fun. That's my number one, the one I think of. But it's like kind of like sky's the limit with that kind of stuff, though, I think, which is really fun.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Cool. Very good answer. Pete, do you have an answer?
Nope.
Oh,
great, Justin.
I just want to hear something from the perspective of The Mist, I think. With
that'd be great.
To be just like a bunch of water droplets in the air.
What is it thinking? What is it feeling? Yeah. Is it saying, oh, I wish somebody would put on a mask for me?
Yeah. And is that the biggest
You guys
problem?
Are the worst.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Don't ever go to Scotland, Pete.
You know what would be great? Is something from Pete's perspective.
I've never heard
Let's get another question. You, sir, right there, come on up. Yes, you. Pablo, don't know your name, though. What's your name?
You gave me name already. Pablo.
Hey, Pablo.
Nice. Hey, everybody. How you doing? This is for all of you in general. What is the greatest story that's yet to be told on a Broadway stage? On or off Broadway?
The greatest story ever be told on the stage? That's a hell of a claim.
Probably. It's yet to be told, right?
Yet to be told.
That's what I was saying. That's on stage.
Well, you said a Broadway stage, so I'm going to go with Puffs.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
It's next step, the next logical step.
Yeah. To the Great White Mouse.
Has anybody ever made a musical about cats? Because I think that would be very good.
Oh, I have that's some news fun. For you. But what would a cat ever have to say or sing?
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be dumb.
It's so jellical to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know what that means. All right, Pete, Punisher, I guess. Punisher, Broadway show?
No, just let him answer.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, they did Bullets Over Broadway already.
Nice. Wow. Real theatrical.
Look at you flexing all this Broadway knowledge.
I know. You know, Alex was a theater baby.
You know that. All the way from right before the show. This is true. We stood out in the lobby telling each other our college majors.
I knew that.
For the first time.
No, I knew that about you.
I also, I'm sure, knew something about you guys.
Yes, exactly. We all are friends.
Yep.
So, Pete, what were you saying? I know a lot of people ask you this on a daily basis. What would you like to bring to Broadway? As a potential theatrical producer.
I would be this underdog story about somebody who battles with rage on a daily basis.
Interesting. And following in the footsteps of the Spider-Man musical, perhaps a Hulk musical.
Yeah, exactly.
Hulk, I got it,
turn,
guys.
How about the Incredible Hulk, Turn on the Hulk?
Turn on your Hulk light?
Yeah, Turn on the Hulk light.
I really would not want to see Turn on the Hulk.
Turn on, you don't want to Turn on the Hulk either. Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Don't Turn on Hulk.
Hulk, interested, but not yet turned on.
That happens in Act Two.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the.
What about you, Justin?
Game.
What would you want to see? What is the greatest story that hasn't been told on the Broadway stage?
Has it been brought to Broadway? I mean, from a comic book perspective, I mean, that's a. Comic book movies are so popular, but having someone fly in a Broadway theater is embarrassing.
Yeah, but you saw. I mean, not to get totally serious, but I haven't seen it yet. You've seen Fun Home, right?
I have.
Which was great.
Amazing. Truly one of the best shows I've ever seen. Fun Home, based on the graphic novel, was a great, great show. Definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, so you can bring a comic book to the stage. Probably not necessarily a superhero comic book. It's a little harder.
I believe that graphic novel doesn't have a lot of characters flying / fighting.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be interesting. Shoes. I don't know if it's ever been done in a show, and not, again, to get super serious, but Mouse would be really interesting to see as a show. Well,
I've had that thought before, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think Mouse. I was trying to think of, like, adaptations of things. Mouse was one. That has the potential to be beautiful. I guess it would be difficult to do the, like, animal anthropomorphic.
Yeah, exactly. Mouse
thing.
Masks might be a little...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but I think you could do that. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. I think that would be kind of fascinating and
I mean, certain Sandman runs of issues I think would be great. I think Blankets, also by Craig Thompson, also could
And, of course, what is it, that Justice League Snickers comic book?
Yes, I think so. Because
beautiful musical.
There's no way to do the Mist, guys. You can't do it.
No, actually, Mist is a very popular theatrical convention.
Yeah, no, no, they still...
Happens in many, almost many, many shows.
They haven't cracked stage fog yet.
Yeah. And it's funny, a lot of the actors just... keep acting. They don't run away from the Mist.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird because they
it's the
know.
Opposite of what they should be doing.
Yeah, I know. Man, I can't. Fog so must be also terrifying.
The answer is Stephen King's The Mist. I think we can get one more question, maybe two. You all the way in the back. Come on up because this microphone can't stretch very far. What's your name? What's your question?
Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Hi, Pete. I have book recommendations.
Wait, is this somebody you planted in the audience?
No. Is this a Pete plant?
We used to be on an improv team together.
Yeah, all right.
That sounds like a plant.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nikki.
Show. Okay. So my question is, I just picked up Monstress, and I read Descenders, and I love both of them because they're gorgeous and they're different worlds. What other recommendations along beautiful artwork and like cool worlds that are completely filled out?
Ooh,
That's a great question. Descender is a great comic that I don't think we have talked about too much on this show.
No, we really haven't.
I think it's Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen, and it's great about robots and in a far-flung future.
I mean, the straightforward answer is Saga. You definitely want to check out Saga. Okay, you've read
She's read that.
Sorry.
Great.
All right. Follow-up to Monstress and Descender.
If you like Descender, I would say Sweet Tooth is another Jeff Lemire book that he did, and he also did the art for it, and it's wonderful.
And that is very much a world, another post-apocalyptic world where certain children have animal parts.
Yeah. And if that on a similar note, I don't know if you guys have been reading May yet. May, M-A-E.
May. Oh, is that a calendar? That's a calendar month.
Yeah, it's M-A-Y is what you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, different thing. So it's about this girl who disappeared on some weird alternate reality fantasy place for a while, comes back, finds her sister, takes her sister to the fantasy place, and it's just like, it's very cheeky and strange, and there's creatures with like multiple heads that are fighting dragons sometimes. There's little animal sidekicks and whatever. It's the art in it is gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. It's really gorgeously rendered. It feels very Frank Cho without feeling cheesecakey to me. Mm-hmm. But it's from Gene Ha, if you know his work at all.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really fun. It's a different sort of thing because I think Descender feels like epic sci-fi and Monstress is very serious in a certain way as well. But I think it's right in line with those, and it's only a couple of issues in, so you can check that out.
I would recommend Tokyo Ghost is a good series.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The Wake.
Wake, yeah.
The Wake is another good series. Busted, got you
fucking
on that.
Asshole.
looking back even further, a series from Jeff Smith called Bone has a great mythology to it, very much more cartoony, but great great storyline that is very serious in its own way.
You fucking piece of shit.
Wait. Ooh, you, totally, a better
you totally got me on that.
Oh, great.
I'm going to just say Concrete.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good answer. Concrete answer. Is by Paul Chadwick?
Yes.
I don't know why I totally blanked on that. But by Paul Chadwick is about a guy who his brain gets taken by aliens into this gigantic concrete body. And then basically he just thinks about stuff a lot. That's pretty much it.
I mean, stuff happens. It's all about like him trying to find love, being in this body and dealing. There's an arc about the environment. There's an arc about him like dealing with his like existence. It's really good.
Yeah, it's great. And there's also... probably the single sexiest issue of a comic book that's ever been written in the history of comic books.
And Alex likes sexy comics.
All right.
Astute listeners will know that Alex likes a little sex in his comics.
That's not true.
Yes, it is true,
yes,
Alex.
It is true.
Wait,
it's crazy.
Should we take
there.
One more question or do we run
yeah,
out of time?
Yeah, we got one more question.
One more question. Oh, you, sir... Right over there. Actually, sorry, he's due to the... Oh, come on. All right. What's your question, Rolando?
All right, hey, it's Rolando. So this is for Matt. I have three superheroes I want you to sort for me.
Oh, boy.
I want it to be the Punisher, Silver Sable, and Cypher.
That okay. guy's been yeah. to the show
yeah,
too
yeah.
many times.
Yeah.
All right, Punisher, I definitely say, oh, that's a tough one.
Punisher would just...
Heart of gold there, though.
Punisher would blow the hat up before
exactly,
finished sorting
probably.
Him.
You know, Punisher, though, I'd say Punisher, and using my art plays terminology, I'd say it was very brave.
Yeah. Yes.
Brave soul. Brave soul, I'd
interesting.
Say.
Interesting.
I think.
That's the best one!
I don't sound like that.
Silver Sable, I think is a puff. I'm going to put Silver Sable with Puff.
Interesting.
And then Cypher. Cypher, sorry. Oh, yeah. Different. Okay.
No, Cypher just never left. He got scared and stayed at home.
It's probably a little smart then.
Yeah.
Smart. Ravens.
That yeah, was so go. Good. That it,
see, you're
your
the
boy
same.
Got sorted.
I think
same.
We'd be really good friends. All right, that's it for your audience questions. Yeah. All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is the Week in Geek.
Yes.
And in the Week in Geek, very quickly, we're going to talk about some pop culture topics that
so
happened
much
this
stuff.
Week.
Obviously.
So much stuff. First thing we got to talk about, though, so New York Comic Con happened this weekend. Tons of news came out. Lots of stuff happened. I was at the Walking Dead panel on Saturday night, which started about 40 minutes late because... Fucking Father Gabriel got lost in traffic and delayed everything. Goddamn that guy.
That's right in line with the character, though.
I know. He is. That guy's the worst. Actually, the guy is Seth Gilliam, who plays him, is one of the nicest guys, but Father Gabriel's the worst. But the panel was great. Of course, they couldn't really talk about anything with, if you've been following the show, Negan has... killed one of 11 different cast members on the show. We don't know
interesting
who.
You say in the past tense.
Well, it already happened and is going to happen in the future and has always happened.
Holy shit, what are you talking about?
I don't know. But the thing that they showed up beyond the panel, like, there were a couple of things that happened at the panel, but mostly they skirted around things. But at the very end, they're like, oh, here, real quick, here's a sneak peek scene from season 7. And it is gut-wrenching. And in order to get through it, I brought a present for you guys for us to talk about it. So, Pete, can you describe the scene? And I'll take out the present. So I actually got this today from Skybound Entertainment that produces Walking Dead and Johnny Walker. They sent a big kit of stuff, including some Black Label scotch and a tiny little... case of Walking Dead shot glasses.
What is happening?
In order to properly talk about The Walking Dead, we could all just take some shots and steel our nerves for talking about it.
Yeah.
That's it's about time we did this show with some alcohol in our system.
What just happened?
So,
I can't even afford that booze.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I know. It's crazy. They also sent a tent.
A tent?
Yeah, it was a whole zombie survival gear kit. So
I like
big
how
boots
is very important.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't bring a tent to the show, but I could bring booze to the show. Yeah. Pete, do you want to describe the scene while I get our shots ready?
Sure. So
this is more of a sipping alcohol.
Yeah? Well, I guess we're not going to do that. Yeah. We're going to shoot it. So, we got to see Rick, who is just kind of shaking And it is blood on one side of his cheek, so everybody's freaking out that it's got to be the person immediately to his right who dies, because otherwise...
Did someone go back and watch him?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people did.
And who is next to him?
Well, there's some discussion on, like, is it the person right next to him, or did the blood come over from, like, two people, so there's
maybe there was a second bleeder.
Yeah. There could be a second bleeder.
Well, let's talk about this. So not only is the blood on Rick's face, but they pan down to the gore on the floor, and there's teeth in the gore, and of course we know that Negan bashes somebody with a baseball bat, and it's awful. Eagle-eyed fans, I will not take credit for this, eagle-eyed fans combed through the footage and found something that looks remarkably like Maggie's wedding ring in that gore. So everybody kind of thinks that Maggie is the one that dies.
Yo, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, take a shot. Yeah.
But what are her teeth look
like? To Maggie.
That's okay.
Allegedly, possibly Maggie.
That's just nice. Yeah, nice relaxing alcohol.
Yeah, thank you.
The Walking Dead.
That is like the smoothest booze I've ever had.
Now, in the future, when you give these shot glasses out to like people who don't watch television all the time, and they pick up their shot glass and it says The Walking Dead, you think that's what answer do you have ready for like a grandparent who's like, oh, okay.
When am I doing shots with my deceased grandparents?
Well...
I mean, first
maybe
of all,
someday
I'll
soon.
Have a very easy answer.
Maybe yeah. someday.
Very easy answer yeah. if I'm having doing any shots with my grandparents.
You're the Walking
you're
Dead.
You're the Walking Dead. There you go. Yeah.
Does every guest on the show get such a fancy?
Yeah,
shot
we do
of
this every week.
Every week.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
I've not caught up to completely the last season, but I've like watched the show at periods of time. Whenever I worked at the store, that was one of the books that I just had fun like keeping up with. So I know like the points and points.
It's a great
and I've
book.
Watched like the last scene of the last episode, but.
Yeah,
so I like to stay in touch with it. Well, I don't want to, because I know who it is in the books, but I don't want to ruin that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
So yeah, I would think that they would do that. I just know that there's one person in the audience who doesn't know who
really
resisted
can't.
Telling the lady friend. All right,
just
shaking
earmuffs,
her fist at
earmuffs.
Me.
Glenn.
Probably. But they did the fake out thing, and so one would think it's probably not that.
Here's my current theory that was killing me today while I was writing about it at work, is I think they are going to kill Glenn just
and
like they do
else.
In the book and Maggie.
I can see that. That's a way to like
really?
Get rid of the shot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
are
I think
serious?
What's going to happen.
What's
that's
that reaction?
My theory.
I've heard that same theory, because that's how do you up what most people already assume is going to
exactly.
happen.
Exactly.
So
yeah, and the Maggie thing, I will say, in the panel, there was a very weird moment where
she was like, "Would you mind hiring me for another acting job?"
She started handing out her headshot and resume to everybody.
That's a clue. That's a strong clue.
Yeah. No, she, Chris Hardwick, had asked everybody, because they can't talk about the season going forward, just about stuff looking backwards, and everybody gave very reasonable answers and funny answers and whatever else and was playing around with each other. And then he got to Lauren Cohen and he said, well, let's talk about Maggie. Maggie and Glenn going backwards. They've been some of this incredible couple, just as Stephen Yuen said. Why do you think they have such a lasting appeal? And she started crying.
Oh,
and
shit.
She said, listen, this came directly after Greg Nicotero, the executive producer, mentioned that at the end of the season, they're going to make 99 episodes, and then the start of season 8 will be 100 episodes. And she was like, I can't believe 99 episodes. That's so monumental. I can't conceive of that. This has been such a special experience. I can't believe I've gotten to share it with all of you guys. What an incredible journey we've all been on together. And to me, like, it was very carefully worded, but that came out of nowhere in the middle of that just seemed like a very... It was a goodbye speech.
I mean, hearing you say that makes me think that would be such a great reveal in the episode if they kill Glenn.
Yep.
Something that we all expect has been much talked about. Right. And then all of a sudden, everyone's crying, everyone's upset. And obviously, he's like, oh, you're his wife. And then he kills her.
Oh,
like, that's chilling. That's truly...
It's absolutely horrible. Like, it's horrific. But to me...
It's very Negan.
It makes sense for the TV show where it doesn't make sense for the comics. That
right.
their stories, even more so in the comics, Glenn and Maggie, are so inextricably tied together that I could just see them... It makes sense for them to go out together, to leave together.
Well, that's terrible news, Alex. Jesus.
There you go. Let me know if you need another shot.
Yeah, I'll take another.
Yeah, I'll take another one.
I'm upset!
All right. Let's turn to something even better. Pete, I think you watched some of this online. Another huge thing that happened at Comic-Con was some Defenders news.
Yeah, exactly. They had, as a surprise, all the Defenders on stage, and then Jeff Loeb announced who the villain. They said they had to get somebody of such high caliber to face off against all of the Defenders, and who could that be? And then he did this amazing thing where he was like, this person, she needs no introduction. And everybody's like, what? And then he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Sigourney Weaver. And everybody fucking lost it.
Yeah, they're going to fight the actual Sigourney
Weaver. I know.
Here's my question.
Sigourney Weaver.
Did they lose it because he said she needed no introduction and then he introduced her?
Yep.
Yeah, this that's is fucked up. You can't
move.
Just
it's
say
a dick
that
move.
Is fucked
it's a dick
up.
Move.
No. Well, what do you think? What? Who do you think she's playing?
Ripley.
Yeah. Because Ripley's going to win.
It'd be hard to beat her. It'd be hard to beat her.
Do you believe that or not?
That Sigourney Weaver's going to be
the
villain.
That it's Ripley. Yeah. Ripley, do you believe it or not?
I don't believe it.
Times Square.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Cheers to Alex's pun work.
Yeah.
We're all the Walking Dead when it comes to Alex.
Great. I'm sure both the people in the live audience and listening at home are enjoying us.
Just a quiet moment where you just hear us go, glope.
Yeah. I did read a fun speculation article about who she might be playing.
Who do you
think? They think it might be doing some sort of version of the Shadowland arc from Daredevil.
Oh,
and they think
okay.
she might be associated with the hand, or that's what they were called, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen a little bit because she was wearing a green scarf on stage. A lot of people thought she was Madame Hydra or Viper or something like that.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, Shadowland, wasn't that Vanessa Fisk? Wasn't she sort of running that? And we already have that person.
Maybe.
It was the one thing I read. This was just like the clickbaitiest article, but it was just and it was saying they think that she might be like the embodiment of the there's like the whole like demon thing that happens and it's that maybe, but
she could be
who
that.
Knows
yeah I don't know I mean
I'm super excited though
yes I mean I and guess
Sigourney
we'll
Weaver is amazing.
I think I looked this up so I won't take credit for knowing this offhand, but the person or creature who brought the Defenders, the original Defenders, together and battled the Defenders more than anybody else is Yandroth, the techno alien who brought
I
them
love
together.
Techno.
So I don't know. I'm going to just put it out there. I think she's playing Yandroth.
Ah, cool. Great. And the answer everyone was waiting for.
There
I
we
hope
go.
It's Yandroth, the techno alien.
Write us in at Defenders Villain at comicbooklive.net and let us know what you think.
That's not a real website, but sure.
All right, but there
her
we
email
go.
Address.
And that's it for the week again.
Yeah.
It's time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPage.
All right. Do we have full time? I'm here, or should I just give it
just
up?
Just do it.
All right, cool. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Yes, you, first hand up person. Come on down. Yeah, that's you. You were the first hand up.
He just says that, and whoever walks down gets the prize. Yep. So
great. Remind us of your name again.
I'm Nikki.
Nikki, yes. audience Nikki.
Nice.
All right, so hi. Today's trivia is on Puffs, as long as you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay, great. You'll be set. Okay, this legally has nothing to do with him, so if he gets in trouble, he did not read this, he does not know anything about this, so legally nothing can be tied to him. Puffs is short for what?
Hufflepuff.
Correct!
That's correct.
I should have explained that I also wrote little jokes in here, so please let me fucking finish.
Start.
Pete, your jokes are
so
never little.
Yeah, it's true. They're never good. All right.
No, he said little.
Question number two. The writer got the idea for the show on the blank. Is it A, the toilet, B, the train, or C, in the middle of a food coma, which would be funnier if you heard the first joke, but anyways. So it's either A,
imagine.
The toilet, which is gross and untrue, or it's B.
I'm going to go with B, the bus.
The train.
Nice. The train.
You got great listening skills.
The,
I can see why you're a great
the
improviser.
The vehicle. Thank you,
Pete. Says all the time it would be funny if you heard the
last
first
question. Who do you think is the most high-maintenance cast member?
You.
Do you think it's A? We're not talking about this. We're talking about Puffs, remember.
But I think she's correct.
No, that's not true.
Surprise news. Pete LePage in Puffs off Broadway.
is it A, Langston? B, Nick, or is it C, none of them? It's an amazing cast and worth checking out.
Ooh. The answer is Langston,
C.
right?
It's got to
be
Langston.
C is correct.
C.
You win $25. Okay. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'll give you the gift card. I forgot to bring it out.
That was a great round of quizzes.
Well done, Trivia.
That was really good. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics, even though Matt doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're a great shop
it.
And they've sponsored the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to? One choice. Go for it.
A lot of great stuff.
Sure. What are one of the comic books?
Blacklight District number one is coming out. Our buddy Jesse Blaze Snyder is doing that. So
great. And Shut It Down, Justin.
And Shut It Down, The Black Monday Murders from Image, Jonathan Hickman's new book. Great, rich Wall Street with dark magic. Very cool.
Yeah, sure. Also, it doesn't.
What?
Also, Moon Knight's great.
Sure. Yep. It doesn't start with black, but it is a character who dresses in all black. Darth Vader number 25 is coming out tomorrow. That's the end of Kieran Gillen's run on the book. That book is so good.
Yes,
it
is
easily the best Star Wars book, but also one of the best books that Marvel has been putting out. I can't wait to see how it ends. If you were looking for a comic book. Yes, I know that. But it's,
for a while.
It feels like Game of Thrones, but in comic book form. It's one of the most tense things I've ever read. It's great. It's so good.
And I'm super excited for Great Lakes Avengers number one.
That's true.
This is the first comic book I ever actually picked up was Dan Slott's Great Lakes Avengers book series. And they're really, tying it in. They're really the puffs of the Marvel Universe. So, if Marvel ever needs someone else to, write the Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, man.
Oh, nice.
Way to put a tie-in and a plug in the same
They set. Haven't even put out the first issue.
I'm just saying. You never know what happens.
Move it on.
You're right. You're right.
That dude's territory. Chill out, Matt.
You're right. I'm so sorry.
But don't chill out on plugging your show, Puffs. Where should people check it out?
Oh, yeah. So Puffs is currently playing, at least right now through the end of the year. Hopefully longer if people come and see it, which would be great. At the Electra Theater, you get more information at puffstheplay.com. And it's just a real fun, heartfelt, nice little time about...
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's really for, anyone who kind of had like a harder... Not a hard time growing up, but it's for the people who didn't get to be the Harrys in life. And so that's fun. Yeah.
Oh, the what? The who?
Oh, no, he said
it. Oh, man.
The nice folks that finished last a little.
Yeah, there we go. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, one of our favorite guests to have here, Ben Kissel, is going to be here from Last Podcast on the Left and a couple of other things that are also really cool. Also, we should mention the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you're physically in the space, we have a literal hat over there you can throw some money into, or online, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Check it out. You'll get free stickers. A bunch of people have applied to have personalized videos that we sent
us.
Sounds super creepy, but it's not actually creepy. It's actually pretty cool.
I have a lot of things to say personally.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there we go. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
You can check us out at BewareTheMist.com and follow us on Twitter at ComicBookLive.com.
Check it out. Check us out at ComicBookClubLive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Matt for being on the show.
Yeah, Matt.
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ema Bell, Tomer Dar, Quick, Fletcher, Dave McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Louis DC on photo. Boothman
Pride.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you. Just a name, let the secrets leak, and a patient of the